Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody, a report from the front lines of Israel. A man whose niece is missing. We talk about that, and Sebastian Gorka explains what he means by finish the job. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com, subscribe to our podcast, and make sure you buy weapons for the global day of jihad. I certainly hope everything remains safe and peaceful as it should. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Elad Levy, who is the uncle of Rani Eshel, who is a missing 19-year-old Israeli, and he joins us now. Elad, thank you so much for joining the program. Please give us the latest, the story, and what you are hearing, and we are here with you. Elad, please.
Sure, thanks. First, Charlie, thank you for having us and letting us sharing our story. I think, you know, if we'll start, I'll just tell you, you know, Rony, like you said, a 19-year-old teenager, he's missing since Saturday. I think it's almost 6 days now. Last time we heard from her was on Saturday at around 9:30. We didn't really hear. Her mother just got a text, very plain, very brief, said, "Hey, mom, I'm okay. I'm busy. And I love you." So that was the last time. And since then, we never heard from her.
So do you have any information, or do you speculate that potentially that she has been kidnapped by these terrorists?
We don't have any from the latest information that I can, that we are, and again, it's all estimates because we don't know exactly what happened, that she was after the 9:30, she was in the communication room, and which was a secured room. So the Hamas militants, not even militants, I'm sorry, terrorists, tried to get in. They couldn't get there. So after a while, they decided just to burn it. There were 8 or 9, you know, females and teenagers like Rony in this secure room, which they decided to just burn them alive. And we know that after an hour or so, so it could be, you know, in the around 11, maybe 12, one of the soldiers there basically crushed the window and started to take all these teenagers out. And he was able to escape with two others, and they actually survived. A few of the females are found dead, confirmed dead, and a few are missing, like Rony. You know, it's we're not speculating where is she, but I think that realistically, when you're looking at all the options that are, and as the day goes by, you know, some options are eliminated. We only have bad options when we look forward.
So, Elad, to the best that you're able, can you tell our national audience here in the States what it is like in Israel right now? The obviously somber and heavy, but no one's lived through anything like this. The best you can, fill us in, and what are you hearing? What are people saying on this most deadly day of Jewish death since the Holocaust?
Absolutely, and you described it perfectly. Nothing like that we've seen since the Holocaust. And I think for the Americans, need to understand the scale of it. What we're talking here, just in terms of the magnitude, I'll get into the, savageness later. The magnitude is like 30 times 9/11. So if you can imagine 9/11 happens in 30 cities, not just in New York, in Chicago, in Milwaukee, in Kansas, in Austin, in Dallas, that's the equivalent. That's what we experienced on Saturday. That's, you know, what we're facing. It touches every, I heard yesterday, one of my best friends from high school was found and confirmed dead yesterday. I can't personally, I can't even, you know, cry for him because I'm dealing with my own personal, you know, situation. So we can't even grieve on our friends normally. And on top of that, you know, Charlie, is just the brutality and the savageness. Because what we've seen on Saturday is a genocide. Nothing, you know, nothing less. There's no, you know, genocide. Hamas terrorists came out with one purpose and one purpose only: to kill and slaughter Jews, to kill, slaughter, and massacre civilians.
The savagery is hard to even comprehend. And, you know, I love Israel. I've visited multiple times. And it feels like the country is always on alert. But even for a country that is on alert, that is aware, that this is hard for people to even process and to believe. And so, Alad, the best ability, can you just describe some of the logistics that you know? Because our American audience is a little confused about how long the terrorists were actually in Israel. This is hard. Please explain that the best you can.
Sure. What the terrorists did, they broke in. They first broke into the military camps. Actually, it's not first, but at the same time. And they cut off all the communication centers, like I said. And they cut off all the electronics. And so basically everybody was blind. And then they went to, I would say, these military posts. And then they went to roughly 10 or 15 civilian villages, a small town. And in particular, also they targeted the music festival that was nearby, maybe 4 kilometers from Gaza. And in each place, they gathered in this, you know, with the ISIS pickup trucks. In some places, there's, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 of them. And basically went systematically. This is why I'm saying it's a genocide. They went systematically house to house, wiping them out. Places that they couldn't open the safe rooms and the secure rooms, they burned the houses with people alive in it. That happened. That started in some places around 6:30 to 7 a.m. And until the military came and root them out, it was around late afternoon. The response was, again, because of the communication, because everything went down, it took us time. I know there are a few Apache helicopters at around, you know, a couple of hours, but they were fighting. The mass was so, you know, the number was so huge. So they couldn't do them. They couldn't kill them all.
It's hard to even wrap our head around that. So in closing, Alad, how can Americans help? And what have you heard, if anything, from the Israeli government regarding the status or any information around Roni?
So around Roni, we didn't get any new information formally. I think most of the information that we got is from people that we spoke. And I don't know if there's any new information. Also, I think, look, the military is focused on wiping out Hamas now. And we definitely encourage that. I think there is 100% in Israel about wiping out Hamas. So there's no new information, and I don't know if we'll get in the next few days, weeks, or months. So we're really up in the air. with respect to Ronnie. And I think one other thing that we really ask from the American people these days, and we really need your support unconditionally, unequivocally, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, 6 months, a year. And I know the political situation in the U.S., and I don't want to get to that. It's not none of my business. And what really we're hoping for is the support of Israel beyond any, you know, parties, conflicts, and American politics. We just want everybody to stand behind us. We really need your support. Really appreciate the support of the U.S. Government these days about the U.S. military and the U.S. Navy. So we really need your support.
God bless you, Elad, and you have it here from us. God bless you, and we're praying for you and your family.
Thank you, Charlie. Just one last note, but just make no mistake. We are resilient. We're determined. You know, the Jewish people rose from the ashes 8 years ago. We will rise from this and we'll come stronger.
I know you will. That I know. It takes a lot more than that to keep down the Jewish people.
Thank you very much.
That is correct. Elad, God bless you.
Thank you.
Baruch Hashem. Shalom.
Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. The best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com.
Okay, I've been used the term a lot, you might not know. A kibbutz is a communal settlement in Israel. It's actually the closest thing to functioning communism that you'll ever see, believe it or not. It's not that extreme, but it's a lot of sharing. It's a Jewish settlement, usually, where people, there's very little private property, and you study the Torah, and you practice typically Orthodox Judaism. That's where the Muslims targeted. As we have seen this recent development of the closest thing to the Holocaust that any of us have lived through, there are some unbelievably heroic stories that are coming up. I want to isolate two. And I also just want to piggyback on something that Elad had. And I want to apply, again, I keep on applying it to America because I'm an America first guy. I always put the country first. And I think there are lessons you could always learn. And he said something that I think that was incredibly powerful. And he said, we're a very resilient people. It takes a lot more than this to keep us down. Let's have that attitude too, as American conservatives. I think that's a very important attitude, that we will rise again. We might not get what we want, but we will rise again. We'll organize, and we will not give up, and we will not surrender. Thought that was very, very well said. Okay, I want to tell you about this one story here. As I mentioned, the government was not there to protect. In one kibbutz, which is a communal, again, a Jewish religious community, there was a 25-year-old, 25 years old, a young lady. And by the way, the young women of Israel put the young women of America to shame. My goodness. The young women of Israel are honestly tougher than most American men. I mean, these ladies can fight. I'll tell you what, you do not want to get in the way. It's totally different. You have no idea. So this, how many 25-year-old women in America could do this? Okay. Put a picture up here. This young woman, God bless her, 25-year-old, Inbar Lieberman, she's a security coordinator at a kibbutz. Okay? Near Am. She started to see the black smoke. She saw the Muslims coming. She went into the armory for the kibbutz. Praise God they had an armory. And her response saved countless lives. This is right on the border of Gaza. She started to distribute guns to 12 people and coordinated a response to the savage animals that were killing in the name of Islam. placed them in strategic positions to save the kibbutz, which started a four-hour firefight. A four-hour firefight. This 25-year-old woman starts opening fire. This 25-year-old woman killed five terrorists. Put that picture up there. She killed five terrorists. She's a young woman. While others in the kibbutz gunned down 20 more over 4 hours. A nearby kibbutz, 5 miles away, everybody died. This kibbutz had limited casualties because of her. She stepped up. You don't understand what a four-hour gunfight does to you? A 10-minute gunfight is exhausting. I've never been in a gunfight, but just firing a weapon for 10 minutes. Her kibbutz was left largely untouched because of guns. Do all the kibbutzes have armories? I have no idea. We'll find out, I'm sure. But this young lady was courageous. You want to fight evil? Be courageous. Psalm 97:10, if you love God, you hate evil. And this young woman, Inbar Lieberman, should get whatever Medal of Honor equivalent that Israel has to give. I don't know if she's, I don't care. Give her a medal. At the most kibbutzes, they understandably locked themselves inside and they were burned to death. Inbar Lieberman, who based on that picture, you would think that she's just a typical 25-year-old going to get her nails done. Nope. She's tougher than most American men. Tougher than most Americans. This kibbutz took the fight to the terrorists, killed the animals, and saved Jewish lives. God bless you. God bless her.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out the Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now.
Okay, joining us now is a friend of mine, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, great American. Dr. Gorka, it's hard to even put into words. I'll be honest, Dr. Gorka, we haven't talked or chatted or texted, but when I first heard the news, you know, on Saturday, my initial reaction was, okay, I've seen it before. Rockets flying, couple dozen dead, you know, like I kind of programmed, you know what I mean? And I mean, not diminishing any death, but all of a sudden, this is completely different. We've never seen anything like it. There's no precedent unless you live through the Holocaust. Dr. Gorka, tell us, as you first saw the news, your reaction, please.
Well, I was shocked. I've made a career of counterterrorism for decades now, but every human being, everyone who believes in life is horrified. The images we've seen already just today of the charred remains of an infant, the reports of decapitation, the women being pulled out of SUVs, bleeding from their nether regions as the terrorists are shouting, Allahu Akbar. There's only one religion in the world whose adherents say God is great as they're raping and killing unarmed women. It was a shock to me as well, despite my background in military intelligence and the fact that I used to watch the unedited videos of what ISIS did to their captors when I was training the US military. But this is on a scale people need to understand. When they say nothing like this has happened to the people of Israel since the Holocaust, and this is bigger than 9/11, those are just empirical statements of fact. If you look at a nation that has a population of 9 million, more than 1,000 killed proportionally is magnitudes larger, orders of magnitudes larger than 9/11. Now our prayers need to be with Israel. We need to help Israel. And they have the right man in charge, Bibi Netanyahu, former soldier whose brother was killed by jihadi terrorists. Now that nation needs to finish the job. However, the problem is it's not just Hamas. It involves their backers, Iran, that this regime, the Biden regime, is on the side of. That's how horrific the current situation is, with President Trump not at the helm and pro-Iranian anti-Americans running our country.
Okay, so I have several thoughts. I do want to just put a little bit, I want to put aside what you said and have you dive deeper, finish the job. But I first, Dr. Gorka, I want you as a counterintelligence guy to educate me or the audience how this was possible. Six hours it takes for the IDF to mobilize. You've been to Israel many times with, you know, I think with Salem. Mm-hmm. I've been there a couple times. My life was changed going to Israel. It is a fortified country. So you're an intelligence guy. And I find it very hard to believe. First of all, they released these videos. Hamas was planning this with training. How did Mossad not – it's not as if there's a lot of square mileage in Gaza to do training, okay? You're talking about a thing the size of Queens. So how do they not know? Why was it that it took so long for the IDF to respond? And Dr. Gorka, are you entertaining the fact that potentially maybe the Netanyahu government was double-crossed from within, or is this just incompetence?
No, I don't believe that there are Israelis in Israel who are working for the other side. There may have been, you know, Iranian plants like we have. The chief of staff of the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Special Operations and Low Intensity Conflict is embroiled right now with the Rob Malley disastrous penetration of the U.S. government under the Biden and Obama administration. So, yeah, there could have been subversive fifth column elements inside Israel, but not Israelis betraying their own nation. How did this happen? Look, I served in the British Reserve Military Intelligence. Intelligence is an art. It's not a science. It's not like mathematics. It requires the human touch to interpret and then prognosticate based upon sometimes information that isn't 100% verified. The idea that they didn't know anything is bogus. You can't plan an operation for 2 years involving hundreds, if not thousands of people, and not know anything. The problem was, as my former White House colleague Steve Bannon always says, separating the noise from the signal. They clearly had signals, but they didn't put the pieces together. And there's two more elements that complicate it. Number one, we haven't seen an attack of this ilk of numerous coordinated attacks across the nation that were synchronized. Maybe one, two, or three at the same time, but to have dozens from the air, from the land, this we've never seen before. So maybe Israel was expecting what it was used to, as we say, preparing for the last war, and wasn't looking for what the enemy will do next. And then lastly, and this is a very complicated issue, for the last 9 months, there's been a certain level of internal turmoil in Israel that has really put sand in the cogs, in the gears of state. The tension, the strikes, the protests because of the Supreme Court's unfettered influence over the administration, the Prime Minister's office, has clearly led to some form of serious distraction, a distraction that has now cost the lives of hundreds, if not potentially thousands of Israelis.
Okay, so Dr. Gorka, thank you for that response. And you know, you would know better than I would. I think you can understand where my spidey senses go off, though, Dr. Gorka. It's just, it didn't add up, right? It still doesn't. So,
well, look, when things of this magnitude occur, we're always challenged. How do we grasp this? And that's fully understandable.
Yes, exactly. So, Dr. Gorka, explain to us what you mean by finish the job.
Hamas isn't the threat. Hamas is the tool of the real actor. And the real actor is the Iranian regime that, remember, on Friday night in the mosque, talks about the need to destroy the great Satan. And the great Satan isn't Israel. That's the little Satan. We are the great Satan. Israel will never be safe unless Iran is taken out of the picture, or it has its, how shall I put this gently, it is encouraged not to act the way it has acted before. So everybody's looking at the 100,000, 200,000 IDF forces that are moving into Gaza right now. Yeah, that's important, but that's not really the issue. They need to locate the terrorists and kill them and salt the earth and rescue the hostages. But right now, what I'm hoping, and I'm not going to go into any more detail because this is up for the Israelis, Mossad, that has a certain set of skills, should be deploying globally and should be killing agents of Iran everywhere. Just like President Trump took out Soleimani, just like we took up Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi when I was in the White House, the Iranian regime must be made incapable of doing what it does through its proxies. And that will be done by taking out its leaders and its key terrorist operatives across the globe, just like they did with Iraq, just like they did with certain individuals who built the supergun and the WMD regime for Iraq. Mossad needs to take this fight to the key members of the Iranian regime so they are disincentivized. We don't need a war necessarily between Israel and Iran, but Iran needs to understand that the key players are in the crosshairs of one of the most effective external retribution intelligence services the world has ever seen, if not the very best.
So Dr. Gorka, then that introduces the question, what should America do, right? And so yeah. Israel will obviously start with Gaza. That's complicated, right? Because yeah. you and I both know the international community is about to completely turn. They're going to misrepresent what's yeah. happening. They're going to say it's, you know, open air prison, genocide, and Egypt is not even offering a humanitarian corridor. Why? Because Egypt doesn't want the people of Gaza in their country because they're terrorists. Okay.
Right.
So they don't want their Muslim brethren, right? To use kind of a pun, the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't want the Muslim Brotherhood. But anyway, that's a separate issue. So what should America's response then? Because just to be honest, Dr. Gorka, I say no U.S. troops. You know me. You know where I come from.
No.
I'm a war-weary millennial. Yeah. So how should we respond?
Need our troops. So let me tell you the sad thing first. It doesn't really matter right now because this administration is on the side of America's enemies. I mean, everybody needs to understand who's listening to your show, watching your show. We are in the perverse situation where our elite, from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs to the president to the National Security Advisor to Alejandro Mayorkas, the director of Homeland Security, hates America. Right. We are the neo-colonialist white supremacists. We are the biggest threat to the world and they hate us. That is why they're in bed with Iran. That's why, you know, Hunter Biden gets a $1.4 billion deal with China. So the idea that what America does will make a positive change is absolutely nugatory. It's not going to happen. We need President Trump, if we do our part, God willing, back in the White House. Because remember, we had 4 years of peace. It was the proudest moment of my time in the White House when I was pulled into the Oval Office with Steve Bannon in front of the rest of the cabinet. And the president said, tell these guys why I need to kill the Iran deal. And we did. Steve and I gave our elevator pitch to the Secretary of State, to the National Security Advisor, and then the president killed the deal that was going to give Iran the bomb, the Obama deal. We were safe for 4 years. So what we need to do is to rhetorically, spiritually stand next to Israel. Israel will do what has to be done. Sending a battle carrier group into the region is all well and good. We should assist them with intelligence behind the scenes. We should assist them with, you know, targeting information. But Israel needs to do this job for themselves. And let me tell you, as you've been to Israel, I've been, you know, a dozen times, 20 times. Israel will do what needs to be done, Charlie. We just need to stand shoulder to shoulder with them as part of the Judeo-Christian civilization.
So Dr. Gorka, when there are historic cataclysmic events, which I don't even know what we'll call this. It will end up having a name. Something will stick, right? Maybe it will be called the date that it happened, right? Because Yom Kippur War, Six Day War, things happen. Whatever this massacre, when cataclysmic things happen, you can always derive a lesson back to the country. What are the lessons that we as Americans should glean from this satanic display of savagery at the hands of Hamas?
It's all in here. It's in the War for America's Soul. I mean, people ask me, why did I get involved with jihadi, studies, training the military here in America and the law enforcement and intelligence? Because I made this connection as the child of those who suffered under fascism and then as adults under communism. After 9/11, I had this very obvious thought, that the scales fell from my eyes, that these are all interrelated. They're all kissing cousins. Whether you're a Nazi, a communist, or a jihadi, you're all totalitarians. They worship different things. They worship the state, they worship an ethnicity, or they worship their distorted theology. This is the bottom line. And we have to understand that evil is real. Let's be clear. The border is exactly open. Right. There's no nation on the world, none, that has an open border except ours. And if you add the 8 million known illegals to the probably plus another 8 that we don't know of, we've got 16 million people that came into this border illegally. If I'm Al-Qaeda, if I'm ISIS, if I'm Hamas, if I'm Hezbollah, of course I'm using that open border to penetrate my operatives into America. If 1% are terrorists, we're talking about an army. And remember, 9/11 was 19 guys. So here's the lesson for us right now. You are responsible for your safety and your family's safety. I carry a gun wherever I go. I've upped the security for my family since last Saturday. You can't rely upon a regime that hates America and wants to defund the police. The immediate tactical lesson is look after your family because you are on the front line here in America. That's the big conclusion.
So, Dr. Gorka, I've been attacked by the media, by fear-mongering. Is it fear-mongering? You are a counterintelligence expert where I say that tomorrow they are planning a global day of jihad, that there potentially are sleeper cells tomorrow or next week that could be activated on the American homeland. In your expert opinion, is that a fair and accurate thing to say?
There is a threat assessment from the Richmond JTTF, Joint Terrorism Task Force, that was unclassified 4 years ago, that said there are Hamas, there are Hezbollah sleeper cells in America. That's from the Joint Terrorism Task Force in the state that I live in. That's an unclassified released statement. You're not fear-mongering. You are making people aware. It's like Dan Bongino, my friend, says, on a former Secret Service agent. Don't let the fear drive your actions, because that's what the terrorist wants. But be aware and be ready, because guess what? They want to kill you. That's not fear-mongering. That's a statement of fact. Read what the terrorists say. Read when Tsarnaev is bleeding out in the boat, the Boston bomber, before they capture him. I was an expert for the Boston bombing trial, and I wrote a 30-page report on why he believed what he believed for the jury. And when he's writing inside the boat, on the boat, as he's bleeding out, we look down the barrel of your gun and we see paradise. You can't compete with that, Christians and Jews. That's in Boston. That's a man who put a bomb next to a six-year-old child before he detonated it. So this isn't theoretical. It's not hyperbolic. It's happened already. Wake up. Wake up, my friends, and realize the war is here and they want to kill us all. That's the nature of jihad.
Dr. Gorka, I'm walking around with a weapon, and people that have weapons. Security heightened, threat assessments up.
Awareness.
Situational awareness. They're calling for a global day of jihad. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that our border, I hope all the people coming across the border are poets and musicians and priests. I hope they're all the most wonderful people ever. But I'm not a moron. Dr. Gorka, thank you so much.
And they all fit a certain demographic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I notice. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.